Welcome to the Way Up Podcast with your host, Jeff Knoll. In this episode, I sit down for an insightful conversation with Chad Sylvie, a longtime friend of mine whose entrepreneurial journey is nothing short of inspiring. From humble beginnings selling soda and cotton candy at Royals and Chiefs games during his high school years, Chad has built a thriving food service business that has seen remarkable growth over the past two decades. Join us as we delve into Chad's entrepreneurial insights and the valuable lessons he's learned on his path to success. Get ready for an engaging discussion filled with wisdom and inspiration on the Way Up Podcast. The Way Up Podcast is proudly brought to you by my real estate team, the Noble Team EXP Realty. We're redefining industry standards in the markets we operate, distinguishing ourselves from the crowd. We leverage our uniqueness to gain a strategic edge, all while elevating not only ourselves, but also those in our world, including our competitors. Join us on this journey. Your time and investment will undoubtedly be well placed. Hang with us till the end. I know you won't be disappointed. I am really excited to be here with my friend Chad Sylvie. Chad, you and I have been friends for, I was thinking about this on my drive into the office. We've been friends for two decades. Did you know that? 2004.
Really? No, I couldn't. Well, I know it's been a while, but I don't know how long.
2004. That was the first game that I came and worked for you selling kettle corn. Kind of interesting how everything happens and the people that we meet in life and the connections that we make all in the timing that they happen. It's really interesting to me.
I would have to agree.
Yeah. I want you to tell people a little bit about yourself. You've been an entrepreneur the whole time that I've known you for the last two decades, and you had an interesting start getting into your businesses. I just kind of want you to share your story, tell people how you've ended up where you are and what all you're doing right now.
So one of my first jobs I ever had, I was still in high school and I got a job at the Royal Stadium running up and down the stairs selling Coca-Cola and cotton candy. And at that time, I mean, it was a great job for a teenager. I had a blast. I love baseball. So that kind of turned into several years down the road, me going back there and seeing a new company that was there. And I wanted to do it again because I enjoyed it. So I walked into their room. I was attending a Royals game. I walked into their little area where they did their operations out of. And I looked at the guy and I said, "Hey, do you guys need any help? Because I used to do this." And he looked at me and he was a kind of a bigger guy just sitting there. And he said, "Well, there's a tray of lemonade, go sell it." So he gave me a shirt and a badge. I think at that time they were like $4 or something. I don't know. Again, this was the fourth inning. I took off. Went out and I sold more lemonade starting in the fourth inning than the rest of his guys that had been selling the whole game. So at the end of the day, he goes, "Obviously, yeah, I'm going to hire you." So his right-hand man, his name was Frank. He was a Canadian guy that worked hard, and that's all he did was work for this guy, and he'd go home and play video games. Well, me and Frank got to be kind of buddies. I got him out of his shell and took him out, made him go out and do some obnoxious things. A few more years down the road, Frank takes over the business. He buys it from Pierce Brothers. So then I became Frank's right-hand man. He had all of the venues. He had Arrowhead, he had Royal Stadium, he had Starlight Theater, he had Sprint Center, he had the T-Bones.
How old are you at this point?
Probably late 30s, I think.
Late 30s? Okay.
Yeah. And I was helping him, but I was helping him kind of part-time, but he trusted me and he knew when I was there, he didn't have to worry about anything else. Like, he could focus on what he needed to do because he knew I'd take care of what I needed to do. So then I think it was 2003, the T-Bones came to town and they built a new stadium. So we went out and he got the contract for the T-Bones. Well, he said, "Well, you go run the T-Bones for me." So I did. I went out and ran it for him for that one season. Well, the next year, he decided he didn't want to do this anymore. It was too much. In the middle of March, like 3 weeks before opening day, he tells the Royals that, "I'm not going to do it this year." So they're in a panic trying to find somebody to cover everything he was selling. And it was too much for me. I didn't want to do the Royals and everything he had. But I did think, well, I could probably go do the T-Bones. So I went out there, talked to the T-bones about it, and somebody else beat me to it. So I kind of had that summer off. Well, then there was another guy that the first year that they were there, they were doing kettle corn. They came in the middle of the first season. So I was already there doing cotton candy and lemonade and everything else. This guy comes in the middle of the season, didn't know what he was getting himself into. My wife at the time was way friendlier than I was. So she's like, why don't you go help him? And I'm like, why would I help him? He's competition, you know? But long story short, I said, okay, I'll go over. And I went over and talked to him a couple times and gave him some pointers. And he was super happy and really appreciative. And that off season, I ran into him down at the city market in the spring. And he's like, hey, are you going to be back out to T-Bones? And I said, no, I'm not doing it this year. I'm just not doing anything this summer. He goes, well, why don't you come work for me doing kettle corn? And I'm like, I don't really want to. I'm kind of enjoying the summer off. And I'll tell you what, you pay me good, I'll come out and I'll help you for a month. And if it benefits us both good enough, then we'll continue it. And if not, we'll just part ways friendly. So I went out work for him for a month. And I was too expensive for him. So he's like, I just can't afford to keep paying you this. I really thought it would pay off and increase my revenue enough that it would be worth me paying you what you want to get paid. And I'm like, hey, I totally understand. So we went our separate ways. That season finished. The next off season rolls around. The kettle corn guy calls me in February and says, hey, I'm moving to Arizona. Would you want to buy me out? And I thought, you know what? I might do that. So long story short, I ended up buying his kettle corn business. And I did the T-Bones, and I started out with one stand. And over the years, I turned that into four concession stands in that ballpark, and we were doing pretty well. But I still had a full-time job working at the college. So I was...
What did you do at the college?
I was a lab tech. setting up classes for students, and like all the books, and ordering all the books and all the parts that they needed for their little labs that they were doing and so forth. So,
gotcha.
But my bosses there were really flexible. So I'd come in to work at 8 o'clock in the morning and leave on my lunch break to go to Sam's Club or Costco to go buy popcorn supplies. Get back, I'd be gone for like an hour and 10 minutes. And then I had to leave at 4 o'clock instead of 4:30 to go to the ballpark so I could work the ballpark. And then when the T-Bones were out of town, I would make up those extra hours, you know, work till 5 or 6 o'clock to make up the hours that I missed.
Sure.
Well, then I went on vacation 1 year and I came back, and after working there for 10 years for the two same bosses that were great, they stuck me under this other guy who was like a micromanager and wanted me to report everything that I did and write down what I was doing at 10 o'clock and 10:02 and 10:03. And I'm like, I'm not doing this. And the popcorn business was going really well. So I just went in, typed up a resignation letter and took it to my old boss and showed him. And he looked at me and he's like, are you sure about this? And I said, absolutely. And he goes, he takes out his red pen and circles a few things and scratches a few things out and goes, you might not want to say this. And because I was kind of irritated. So I quit. And I just basically went to work for myself, and I've worked for myself ever since. Kettle corn kind of turned into the T-Bones, and then it turned into, I was doing kettle corn at KU for their football games.
I worked some of those.
Yeah, and Allen Fieldhouse. We did basketball games at Allen Fieldhouse. And there was another guy there that was selling lemonade, and we got to be kind of buddies. He was an old guy. He was like 70 years old, but he was still out hustling like a crazy old man. And he had food trucks, or he had a food truck, and he kind of dropping hints that he was going to sell it and wanted to know if I might be interested. Well, that turned into me buying him out. So I had kettle corn and I had food trucks, and I was running like crazy. I had to hire people to be me at the T-Bones, and I was out on the road in the food trucks doing events. And then I grew that. I started with one food truck and I built another one, and that kind of took off. And then I cut back on the kettle corn because I just didn't have time to do it all. And I didn't have to, because I was making enough money with the food trucks that I didn't need the kettle corn income, and the T-Bones were kind of dwindling in attendance, and the money out there wasn't near as good as it used to be. That's kind of what that turned into, and that's what I'm doing now.
Well, and you you also, you've built up some passive income through investments in real estate. I know that we've talked a little bit about cryptocurrency. I know you do some of that. I think you do stocks and option trading as well. Is that correct?
I used to do a little bit of day trading with stocks, but once I've learned about crypto,
crypto was the game changer for you.
Stocks are boring. Yeah. Yeah, it's big time.
So you've been able to create some passive income through your real estate, the rental properties that you have, as well as the cryptocurrency. So what is something that you would say, looking back over your life, over your career, that really set you up for success as you were coming up to these challenges?
One thing I can tell you is that nothing happens overnight. I got married in 2000, and we didn't have a whole lot. We did buy our first house. I think it was that year, in the December of 2000. I figured out how to live off less than you make. And I know that sounds dumb, simplistic, whatever, but really.
It sounds simplistic, but a bunch of people have not figured out how to live on less than they make. That's why the debt crisis is as bad as it is, because people can't figure that piece out.
You're exactly right. People just, in today's world, everybody just, you spend every penny you have and you don't save any. And then next thing you know, you look up and you're 40 years old and you have nothing in a retirement. You have zero retirement. You have nothing to look forward to, nothing to fall back on. And if you lose your job tomorrow, you're probably going to get evicted out of your house or your apartment. And I knew I didn't want to live like that. So I just learned how to live below my means, save some money. And then, you know, the extra businesses, I took them and grew them. And, you know, I just kept expanding a little bit at a time, a little bit here, a little bit there, and save it and invest it. And, you know, a couple deals fell in my lap. You know, the first house I bought to flip, you know, it was a house that was right down the street from me and big old junk house. And I bought it. I think I paid $50,000 for it or something like that, and put 25 in it and sold it for 108. And I thought, well, that's a good idea.
I'd make that
trade. I did it again. I bought another house with the money I made off of that one, and I paid cash for it. I didn't have to go get a loan. I was getting ready to put that house on the market. Well, then one of my friends was like, hey, I need a place to live. Can I just rent that house? So I'm like, okay, I'll rent it, because I don't have any payments on it. So it would just be free money for me. And that turned into buying another house, and then later on buying another house. And I had six houses at one time, and then I got a divorce. So that kind of took a few of those away, and I had to kind of start over again, but the blueprint was already there. So it wasn't really that hard. If you just can focus and not spend every penny that you make and learn to save some, every little bit helps.
Have you had any obstacles, challenges that made you just like say, you know what, screw this. I don't want to keep doing this. It's not worth the hassle. Have you ran into that? I know there was a first marriage ending. I know that's rough.
Yeah, that was hard on me. That was really hard on me. But, you know, the divorce was hard. But I had some good support from friends and, you know, a girlfriend that was there for me through a lot of it, too. And I don't know many other obstacles. I mean, you just have to get in there and work. You know, the hardest thing sometimes is finding other people that want to work, especially nowadays.
Yeah.
Like, nobody wants to work. Well, everybody just wants a free ride.
And that kind of business, it does take, you can't go in and do that by yourself. You've got to have a team of people to come in and work together to be able to facilitate popping enough popcorn and people running the stands. That's what I did. That's whenever we first met, I worked with your brother at that for Grandview Paving and Asphalt Company. And he was going to go work with you. And he said, man, you want to come? You could make like 60, sometimes 80, maybe 100. If you're good, you can make some money and you get paid the same night. I'm like, what? You get paid the same day? Cash? I'm okay with that.
Yeah.
Not that that's true. No cash. Everything was above board taxable income.
Sure. Yeah, we had to turn everything in at the end of the night, but
yeah.
Yeah, and I think you came out and I think you did pretty good.
I did. And I had fun. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was something different. I did asphalt at the time. So I was excited to not be working around hot asphalt, and the environment of the games is always, it's entertaining. Got to see some interesting stuff. We worked the Wizards games, a Chiefs and Raiders game. That was, we were talking about that when we got together a few nights ago, talking about watching a dude get tackled out of his shoes because he got into a fight. That was pretty awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, I've been around a lot of interesting and fun. I've had a lot of fun experiences with some of these jobs. So it's there's always a story somewhere.
Do you feel fulfilled with what you've done in your life?
I'm happy. I think I've enjoyed life. I've done a lot of things that people, you know, even when I was younger, that people my age weren't doing. I mean, I've been
right
all over the world. I've traveled to Australia. I've been to London, Berlin.
You've also had kangaroos.
I have.
You have an exotic farm at your house right now.
Yeah, there's some llamas in the front backyard eating grass right now.
That's wild.
Yeah, it's been fun.
If you could give your younger self some advice, just knowing, learning the lessons that you have and going through all of the experiences that you have, what piece of advice would you give yourself if you could talk to you at 18 years old?
Hey, Chad, when Bitcoin comes out, buy it.
Buy the Bitcoin.
Yes. I don't know that I'd buy it now because it's $70,000 a coin, but back then it was like 10 cents a coin. So did you ever hear about the guy that spent like 10,000 Bitcoin to buy a pizza?
No.
Yeah, there was a guy, he spent, I think it was 10,000 Bitcoin on a pizza delivery one time. The guy, he delivered it, and the guy's like, I don't have enough money. I don't know how that came up, but he ended up paying the guy in Bitcoin.
I hope it was a good pizza.
I hope so too.
Like stuffed crust sounds like a good plan.
Yeah. Yeah. I got really into crypto. It was 2021, I think it was. I was in Tampa for the Super Bowl, not going to the game, but I would go down to Tampa when the Chiefs were playing Tampa Bay in the Super Bowl, just hang out for the week and enjoy the festivities. Cause in my off season, you know, I have my rental houses, and so I mean I still have my income, and I save money that I make during the food truck season so I can take the winter off.
Go enjoy life. Yeah. You hustle pretty hard in season, but you also play pretty hard when you're not working.
I try to. But we went down there, and this lady is a friend of a friend, and she brings up, you guys got to get some of this Dogecoin. So I looked at it and I'm like, I don't even know what that is. We talked about it for a little while, and I'm like, you know what? Why not? I'll throw $150 at it. So I threw in $150. And the next morning we meet for breakfast again, and she's like, did you look at your Dogecoin? And I'm like, no. So then I looked at it, and that $150 was like $250. And I'm like, whoa, I like this. And ever since then, I was hooked. And I left Florida. I drove down there. So on my drive home, or actually I drove from Tampa to New Orleans to meet up with a friend of mine. That whole drive, I just started doing as much research as I could on my own, you know, YouTube and everything else I could find to learn about Dogecoin. And I got home and I told my girlfriend, I said, if I told you for every nickel you give me now, a year from now, I give you back a dollar, how many nickels are you going to give me? And she looked at me and she says, I don't know, how many? I said, no, you're not understanding the question. It took her a few times to finally understand the concept of what I was saying. Anyway, that I invested, I don't know, close to 20 grand or something. And I sold all my stock that I had in Chrysler and Ford, and I put it all in Dogecoin because I was hooked. I'm like, this is going to go crazy. And it did. It went crazy, and I made a lot of money. But then I also turned around and watched all that money go right back down to almost nothing because I was holding it too long. But I still did pretty well with it.
You've learned some lessons I know that you spend a lot of time researching the different coins, different trends, things that are coming up. And you said you meet with some guys weekly on that, correct?
Yeah, there's a group of us that get together every Monday night. the Mexican restaurant. Then we talk about it. And hey, what's the coin you heard about? Or what were you talking about last week? How did that one go? Or there's a few of us that contact each other almost daily about it. And like, hey, did you see, this guy said this about this coin and you might want to jump in on it. So we've done that a few times and, you know, they don't always turn out good, but a lot of them do.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's with anything, just being willing to take a chance, take a risk and jump on an opportunity whenever you recognize it.
Yep.
Not everything works out. Sometimes you bet on something that doesn't come through for you, but you definitely don't win if you don't try.
Yep.
Were you always like that when you were a kid, willing to take risks?
Yeah, with life in general, not money, because I didn't have any money when I was a kid. So
yeah,
but I was a risk taker. You know, I wonder if I can jump over that fence and not get stuck or not break my leg or something to that effect. And sometimes it worked and sometimes I broke my leg. So
yeah, that'll happen.
Yeah.
One of those deals. It just happens sometimes. I'm very grateful that we've been able to maintain our friendship over the years. Life's moved us different places. I mean, I guess I'm the one that's moved. You've kind of hung out in the same place, but
yeah. Another thing about life is that I have a lot of friends because I'm the one that I initiate a lot of contact with people, and I don't blame people that don't, but the people that maintain and contact you back are the ones that are the closer friends, you know, like you and I, we don't talk all the time, but there'll be times that you contact me out of the blue. Hey, I'm going to be up in Kansas City next week. Let's hang out.
Or yeah.
I'll call you. Hey, I'm coming down your way. I'll come jump in the river with us or something. So
we need to get in the river. That does sound delightful.
Yeah. It's about that time.
It is about that time. Well, I appreciate you, man. You have a final thought for the listeners?
Don't be afraid to take risks and do your own research, especially on them crypto coins.
I feel that, man. It's like a different language to me. And I really want to jump in and invest in crypto.
Here. I tell people all the time, and I get a lot of people that contact me and ask me about it. And like, you know, hey, come to a meeting, or I mean, I can talk to you one-on-one.
Yeah.
I want everybody to make money because.
Yeah. Well, and it's one of those things. It's not going to make you make less by helping somebody figure this piece out too. You know,
right.
Everybody can get in. There's enough to go around.
I've told as many people as I can, you know, I think right now is a great time to get in because we're going to be on a nice little run for about the next year and a half.
Good.
And well, I got into it and I didn't know anything about it. You know, that's right. Another one of those risks, but you know, it was just something I'm like, you know what, why not give it a try? And then, you know, $150 turned into $250 and that turned into, I'm going to invest a lot more money and that turned into a lot more money. And it's been fun, but it's also been not fun because your money can, it goes in both directions real quick sometimes.
Yeah, I think the pretty normal advice with that is, especially crypto, is a little bit volatile. Stocks, options, all of that, you can lose money. But as long as you're not spending money that you can't afford to lose, this is your discretionary money.
Yeah, that's the famous quote, don't invest more than you can lose.
Right. Well,
more than you can afford to lose, I guess.
More than you can afford to lose. Not that it's fun. Not that you want to. But it happens. It does happen sometimes. I appreciate you, man. What's that?
Yeah, thanks. I said it was good to see you this weekend. And we'll
it was great to see you.
Yeah, boy.